The Samvartaka clouds, on the order of Indra, they quickly formed above Sri Brajbhumi. Massive black clouds just swirling in the sky, rumbling with thunder. Lightning bolts started flickering here and there. And Indra was right there behind them with the various wind gods. He pounded Vrindavan with winds. It became freezing cold. And suddenly from that rumbling thunder came torrents of rain. The rain did not fall in drops. It came down as thick pillars, like millions of rivers pouring down from the sky. And along with it came ice balls of hailstorm, just blowing in the massive winds. The cows were crying. The Brijavasis, in that situation, they knew nothing else but coming to Krishna. They all came before Krishna with the cows in front. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. Krishna, you are the most fortunate. Please save us. Because we followed your order, Indra is very, very angry with us. And now look, torrents of rain, hail, horrible winds. Look at your cows. The cows are covering their little baby calves with their bodies. And they're trembling. Tears are pouring from their eyes in fear and pain. And the bulls, big ice balls of hail, are pounding against the humps on their backs and being crushed into powder and falling to the ground. And the bull with angry eyes is looking at the clouds and roaring. Very loudly, please. Not like that. But thank you for trying anyway. Krishna looked at them and smiled. He said, "There is nothing to fear." Just like, and Indra's listening to every word. He said, "Just, this is no more significant than the hunger pains felt by someone who has just eaten a sumptuous feast." And Krishna smiled and said, "I will protect you." And then, by his own inconceivable arrangement, he walked to Govardhan Hill. And it was pouring rains, torrents of rains, everywhere except the path where he walked. So not a drop touched him. Then Krishna, small little 7-year-old boy, lifted with his left hand the Govardhan Hill. It's a gigantic mountain. Today, to walk around Govardhan is 23 kilometers, 14 miles. And in those days, it was many times bigger. When Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, the whole earth planet was shaking. There was a rumbling, thunderous sound that spread throughout the universe. It was a dramatic scene.
Krishna uprooting a hill from the ground. And Krishna did it effortlessly and lifted the hill with his left hand above his head. As the hill was raising, chunks of dirt were falling from the sides of it to make a barrier around the hill on the ground so that the water couldn't come in, according to Kavi Karnapur. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna's Icha Shakti, the power of his desire, created a certain type of invisible heat around the whole hill, so all the water would get evaporated, and it couldn't get under the hill. Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill effortlessly as a little child lifts up a mushroom from the ground and holds it over his head. Krishna smiled, and he called out to all the residents of Vrindavan, "Everyone, please come. There is no fear. Sri Giriraj Govardhan is so merciful and so compassionate because we have worshipped him so nicely. He will give us all protection. Now bring your cows, your calves, bring all your valuables, bring your family, and let us have a festival in our new home under Govardhan Hill." And everyone came to Govardhan Hill. They all gathered around Krishna. As Krishna stood as Girivaradhari. It is explained how Govardhan looked like a magnificent jeweled umbrella that was decorating Vrindavan Dham. As everyone made a big circle around Krishna, Krishna smiled. Every cow, every calf, every deer, every gopa, every gopi, every living being under that hill witnessed Krishna looking only at them. This is the power of Krishna to reciprocate with the love of his devotee. An ordinary being, if you show affection to one person, oftentimes you neglect another person. Even if you have all good intentions to please everyone, you can't. But Krishna's Rasaraj. He is Rasa Bihari. He can fulfill everyone's desire completely, simultaneously. Every living being under Govardhan Hill saw Krishna glancing and beaming the most sweet smile upon them. And they were all reciprocating. Everyone just wanted to serve Krishna according to their particular positions. The Brahmins were there offering blessings to Krishna. The Gopas, the friends of Krishna, they were gazing upon Krishna. They were telling jokes to Krishna to make him happy. They were laughing with Krishna. They were smelling Krishna. They were embracing Krishna. And the young gopis, they were gazing upon Krishna like the Chakora bird gazes upon the moon. In Sanskrit poetry, there is a bird called the Chakora. Their nourishment comes from the beaming rays of the moon. And they access those rays through their glands. Therefore, when a Chakora bird is looking at the moon, it's completely satisfied and wants to look at nothing else. So like Chakora birds, the gopis were gazing upon Krishna. And through their eyes, they brought Krishna into their hearts. and in their hearts, with pure unmotivated love, they embraced Krishna again and again and again. All the Brijabasis were in transcendental ecstasy. What a wonderful festival. How wonderful Indra was for making this festival. There was one person under the hill, though, that was not happy, and that was Yashoda Mai. Because of her Vatsalya Ras, her motherly love, it was unbearable for her to see little 7-year-old Krishna lifting this whole hill for so long of time. Yashoda Mai chastised Krishna. She said, "My darling son, you are so impudent, so restless. Your senses are so much uncontrolled. For so many years, we have been living peacefully in Vrindavan, performing Indra Puja. And you disturbed the whole Indra Puja, and you made Indra so angry. Now look at what is happening." And then she reached up, and she felt Krishna's hand, and began to cry. "Little Gopal, your hand is soft as fresh butter, but Govardhan Hill is so hard, and it is so heavy. I cannot tolerate the distress you must be feeling." And then Yashoda Mai, in pure motherly love, she offered a prayer to Giriraj, Govardhan Hill. She prayed, "Oh Giriraj, please be compassionate to me and grant me one boon. Please, on the hand of my child Krishna, become very soft, become very light, so that you do not inflict upon him even the slightest bit of pain." Krishna called out to Mother Yashoda, "There is no pain, Mother. This is fun." Meanwhile, Madhu Mangal, also known as Batu, he came to Vrindavan with Purnamasi. He's a Brahmin. He's a cowherd boy, but he's a Brahmin. And he told to Mother Yashoda that, "Oh, Mother, don't speak like this. If insignificant little Indra did not become angry, we would not see this great festival of sweet nectar watching Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill." Yashoda Mai said to Madhu Mangal, "You are speaking so boldly? How can you speak such words? Holding up this gigantic load of a mountain is not sweet. It's horrible. Look at Krishna. He's perspiring. His face is pale. It's become like a lotus flower dried up in a snowstorm. How can a mother tolerate such a thing, seeing her son in such hardship?" Krishna smiled and said, "Oh, Yashoda Mai, my mother, please don't think like this. I'm having good fun. Besides that, Govardhan is so merciful that I'm not even holding him up. He's just floating in the sky. I'm just standing here as a formality." Mother Yashoda said, "If that is true, then prove it to me. Let me see Govardhan fly through the sky without your holding him." Meanwhile, Madhu Mangal said to Mother Yashoda that, "Actually, if you want to know the secret behind this pastime, it's not Krishna holding up Govardhan Hill. By my brahminical power, Brahma Tejas, I am giving him the strength to do so. Mother Yashoda said, you impudent boy. You're telling jokes while I'm burning in pain? And Nanda Maharaj, he said to Yashoda, Mai, that why are you chastising him? Our son is doing this hard work and Madhu Mangal is trying to encourage him and Krishna is laughing at what he's saying, so let him encourage Krishna. Meanwhile, all the Brijavasis gazed upon the threefold bending form of Lord Krishna. All were speaking his praise. One Brijavasi who said, look at Krishna. With one hand, his left hand, he is effortlessly lifting this Govardhan hill, and with the right hand, he's placing his flute to his mouth and playing sweet melodies. Madhu Mangal, he cried out to Krishna, Krishna, do not play your flute, because Giriraj will become ecstatic. He might tremble in ecstasy and fall to the ground and we'll all be destroyed. We have seen the power of the sound of your flute. Mountains and stones melt into liquid, and liquid becomes like stone. And then one of the cowherd boys said, that's right. Let us pray to Govardhan that he doesn't go into ecstasy, because if he melts in ecstasy, we'll all be finished. He wants to protect us. And then another cowherd boy said, no, there is nothing to be afraid of. Giriraj is very sober. Let us just be happy and enjoy the sound of Krishna's flute. One gopi, according to Kavi Karnapur in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu, called out to Srimati Radharani, please do not move your eyebrows, because Krishna may tremble and we don't know what will happen to Govardhan Hill. Krishna gazed at Srimati Radharani. This is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada tells the story. And Radharani glanced at Krishna. And Krishna became so ecstatic in the path of her glance and seeing her beauty, which is the manifestation of her love. He began to perspire and tremble. And all the cowherd men thought that Krishna's becoming tired and Govardhan Hill, he's under too much strain. Giriraj is going to fall. So suddenly all the older cowherd men grabbed their sticks and put it under Govardhan Hill to assist Krishna. Madhu Mangal, he laughed at them. He said, what is your sticks scratching the bottom of Govardhan going to do? Krishna just looked at Radharani and he's trembling. Krishna said, don't tell them all these things. Krishna said, why are you interrupting with their parental love? They are offering this service out of love for me. So we should honor that, respect that. In this way, there was a wonderful, wonderful festival as everyone was gazing upon the form of Sri Giriraj on the hand of Lord Sri Krishna. Yashoda Mai, after several days passed, she said that, Krishna, you have not eaten in so many days. Your face is afflicted. Your belly is caved in. Even your cows are aggrieved because they will not even eat grass unless they see that you are eating. So Krishna, please stop playing your flute and let me feed you. I have here soft, delicious cakes for you to eat or anything else you want. Hearing that, Madan Mangal spoke to Krishna. And he said, what your mother is saying is correct. I am also very hungry. Krishna says, I am not feeling the slightest inconvenience. It is as if I was just standing here for not even a moment. But if you like, you may feed me. So Mother Yashoda had Subal put prasad in Krishna's mouth as he was holding his flute in one hand and holding Govardhan in the other. Such a wonderful festival going on underneath the hill. Would you like to hear what was happening on top of the hill? Indra was outraged. He was screaming at the Samvataka clouds. Destroy them! Destroy them! And the Samvataka clouds were just lightning bolts. By the millions, massive, powerful lightning bolts were striking Govardhan Hill. And massive rainstorm coming down. And Indra himself was pushing the wind gods, tornadoes, cyclones, hurricanes coming at Govardhan to somehow or other push it off the tip of Krishna's left finger. The little finger of his left hand. He was balancing it. Meanwhile, on top of the hill, because Giriraj was being touched by Krishna's fingertip, he was so happy. He was so surcharged with pleasure that the deers on top of Govardhan Hill and all the birds and even the insects, they were just happily crawling around and flying around and walking around, not feeling the slightest bit of inconvenience. The storms raged harder and harder and harder. But Kavi Karnapur explains how there was also a storm underneath the hill. Krishna's bluish body was like a rain cloud. His peacock feather was like a rainbow. The glance of the gopis, as well as his own golden dhoti, were like lightning. And the beauty he was manifesting was like an unlimited torrential storm of love showering upon all the residents of Vrindavan. And they were inundated by that beauty and love. By the mercy of Giriraj, all the Brijabasis enjoyed endless happiness. The Brahmins were blessing Krishna. Those in Sakyaras, they were laughing and joking with Krishna. Raktak Patrak and the other servants were offering nice services to Krishna. And the gopis were simply glancing upon Krishna. And through their exchanges of glances, all their desires were being fulfilled. Despite Indra's fury, for 7 days, he could not move a single grain of dust on Govardhan Hill. There were millions of trees on Govardhan Hill. Through all these cyclones, hurricanes, and massive deluges of rain, Indra did not have the power to remove one leaf from a single tree. And all the animals of Govardhan Hill, the birds were singing sweetly. And the deers were roaming about. Ultimately, the Samvataka clouds, they were absolutely exhausted. They ran out of rain.
They fell at the feet of Indra and admitted their total defeat.
But that made Indra even more angry. He personally came on his Airavata mount or elephant and just by his own powers were just shooting thunderbolts and whatever powers he had to destroy that Govardhan hill. That 7 days to Indra was like 7 millenniums. But to the Brijavasis, it was like 7 joy-filled hours. Giriraj Govardhan Hill was radiant, radiant like never before, as if it was just given a wonderful abhishekam. And because of Krishna's touching him with his little finger, Govardhan emitted an ambrosial fragrance and was most beautiful. Ultimately, Indra's pride was crushed. He gave up and left that place in complete shame. Now please understand, Indra was bragging what he was going to do. And all the people of the heavenly planets, all the apsaras, all the gandharvas, his own wife, all his servants, they were all watching. They saw him defeated by a 7-year-old little boy. He was completely humiliated, completely defeated. There was nothing left of him inside. He just left devastated. The rain subsided and the sun appeared in the sky. Krishna, still smiling, he called out to the Brijavasis, "Now the rain is finished. You may all return to your homes." The problem is, no one wanted to leave. This was something that was never before. In Krishna's pastimes, Nanda and Yashoda are with Krishna in the early morning and in the evening. But then during the day, he's out with the gopas herding the cows. So they're in separation from him all day. And the gopis, they're in separation from Krishna day and night. Sometimes they get to meet him at night, but then they're in separation throughout the day. Nanda and Yashoda are in separation in the day and get to see him at night. And the cowherd boys, they're with Krishna all day, but then at night when Krishna goes to sleep, they're in separation. But during these 7 days, every single one of the Brijavasis, the cows and the calves, they're with Krishna all day and they're crying in separation at night. But what a festival. 24 hours a day for 7 days, everyone was continuously with Krishna. And Krishna was intimately, personally reciprocating with each and every one of his devotees. Who would ever want that festival to end? And it was born of a crisis that was on the verge of destroying them. Hare Krishna. So this is a wonderful example. If we turn to Krishna, even disasters become blessings. And we achieve something we could have never achieved if it never happened. This is how a devotee translates the reality of life. If Draupadi was not in that helpless condition, Krishna would not have come to cover her body, like an embrace in the form of a sari, which has brought her eternal fame. If Srila Prabhupada did not have two heart attacks on the Jaladuta, if he did not have a stroke in New York City, if he was not in utter poverty with people trying to kill him in the Bowery, his eternal fame would never have manifested the way it is. Those crises, because of how he turned to Krishna and passed through them, are ornaments which will melt our hearts forever. The acharyas teach by their example, and Krishna teaches the world through his most dear devotees. So yes, what appeared to be the greatest disaster that ever hit Vrindavan became the sweetest festival. And we are celebrating it, even 5,000 years ago later, today. So we are very thankful to King Indra. So Krishna told the gopas and the gopis, now go to your homes, everything is safe. And with joyful but heavy hearts, they all left for their homes. And the cowherd boys, they herded the cows out from the hill. But then the cows looked back and saw Giridhari. Krishna was still standing there holding Giriraj, and the cows could not give up his association. They all ran back to Krishna and gathered around him and licked his body and smelled his body and gazed at his beautiful form. And then Krishna, with his glance, he herded them to go outside the hill. When everyone departed, Lord Krishna placed the hill exactly where it had originally been. And the Brijavasis were overwhelmed. As Krishna came out, they all congratulated him according to their particular relationships. Balaram, his older brother, was weeping, and he embraced Krishna. Yashoda Mai, she ran up to Krishna and started massaging his left arm and kissing it with affection and massaging his fingers to relieve him of any pain. Rohini offered aarti to Krishna. The elder gopis gave blessings. The Brahmins offered him boons, and the elder gopas, they embraced him and smelled his head with great affection. And the gopis continued embracing him within the core of their hearts. Then Krishna went off with the cowherd boys to perform his service of herding the cows. And some of the elder gopas approached Nanda Maharaj to inquire, who is Krishna? In Krishna book, there's a chapter called Wonderful Krishna. The gopas said, we want to understand from you, Nanda Maharaj, who really is your son? On one hand, he's just this small, soft, little 7-year-old boy. And on the other hand, there is this gigantic mountain, Govardhan, and he's lifting it up for 7 days. But we have seen again and again Krishna performing these inconceivable acts. The massive Rakshasi demon Putana, she came to kill Krishna, and just by sucking the milk from her breast, he ended her life. And then Shakatasura, a massive car, when he was only 3 months old, he touched it with his foot and it came tumbling down. And Trinavarta, Vatsasura, Bakasura, the deadly serpent Kaliya,
And then another time at Davanalakunda.
After Krishna subdued Kaliya, we all went to sleep on the bank of the Yamuna. It was late at night. Such a beautiful night. The stars, the moon, fresh breeze, with the scent of the blooming jasmine, malati, and malika flowers in the air. The birds of the night singing very sweetly and warbling very, very gentle songs. In that atmosphere, we all entered into sleep.
Suddenly, we woke. There was a fire all around us. A fire that was like unpenetrable walls in the four directions that were reaching to the sky. We were helpless. We all turned to Krishna. And Krishna just smiled and took one inhalation.
And the entire fire entered into his mouth.
Who is this Krishna? Please tell us, is he God? Is he a demigod? Is he a super powerful person? Then Nanda Maharaj revealed the truth. He said that during Krishna's name-giving ceremony, Garga Muni explained how Krishna incarnates in this world in various colors, in various yugas. And he told me that he would be displaying the strength that was equal to Lord Narayan. They listened to that. And they understood. But then they were thinking, but when we don't show him affection, he cries. Sometimes he tells lies. Sometimes he's hungry and he cries. Sometimes he steals butter. Lord Narayan? In this way, although Nanda Maharaj revealed to him the truth of Krishna, because of their loving affection for him, it was clouded. Their love superseded their understanding of his majestic position. Meanwhile, Krishna wanted to provide an opportunity to show kindness to Indra. So he walked through the forest of Vrindavan into a solitary place. Meanwhile, Indra was tormented with guilt. He realized who Krishna was, the absolute truth, the supreme God, the source of all incarnations, his eternal master. And he tried to destroy his entire abode. He approached Brihaspati, his guru. Brihaspati said, "You're in big trouble. The only way you can possibly approach Krishna is you have to approach a devotee who is very dear to him to plead on your behalf." Indra went to Lord Brahma and explained his predicament. Brahma chastised him. "You are such a fool. Due to your material attachments and your anger, you tried to destroy Krishna's family. You should approach Surabhi, the mother of the cows, because Surabhi is very dear to Krishna. If she pleads on your behalf, Krishna will forgive you." Then Brahma told Surabhi, "Please go to Vrindavan and show kindness to Indra." Indra and the Surabhi cow came to Vrindavan.
And in a place called Surabhi Kund, which we'll be visiting in a few days, Surabhi found Krishna. And she pleaded with Krishna. Indra, he's very much repenting his mistake. Please forgive him. This is a divine truth. We cannot approach Krishna directly. But when someone who is dear to Krishna prays to us on our prays to Krishna on our behalf, and when Krishna sees that we're genuine and sincere in our intention, then by the grace of the devotee, Krishna showers his mercy upon us. Narottam Das Thakur has prayed, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nistarapai Chikeva, that no one has ever approached God directly. One must approach through those who love God. Through their instruction, through their blessing, and through their prayers, we can approach the Lord. Just like as devotees, when we offer bhoga on the altar, either in our temples or in our homes, we actually have no power to offer that food to Krishna. But when we pray to the spiritual master, you offer it to Krishna. And with whatever love and devotion I have, let me be your instrument. My hands are here. My intent is here. But I'm presenting this bhoga to you, Guru Maharaj, to offer to Krishna. When we have that intent, then Srila Prabhupada will offer that food to Krishna. And Krishna will accept, because it's offered with pure love. So on every level, as we're chanting the holy names, when we chant the holy names with the blessings, receiving the name from the spiritual master, with the instruction of the spiritual master, with the blessings of the spiritual master and the parampara, if we are just sincere and intent to follow that, then Krishna will accept that chanting. This is a crucial, essential principle in Vaishnava theology. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. To be the humble and sincere servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the Lord of Gopis. Through the blessings, through the mercy, and through the love of the devotees, Krishna accepts our efforts. He accepts, actually, the sincerity in which we are reciprocating with the blessings we received. It is not a mechanical thing. It's not that we just haphazardly offer it to Guru, and then it's going to be accepted. Because of the blessings of Guru and the blessings of Vaishnavas, Krishna is open to receive. But what is he receiving? He's receiving our sincerity, our devotion, and our purpose. And we have all made so many mistakes and committed so many immoral activities in this life and the past, and have engaged in many offenses perhaps. But if, like Indra, we are sincere to do the right thing, and we approach the feet in a mood of service, of the Vaishnavas, then we will be forgiven. The classic example is Jagai and Madhai. They were the most sinful of all sinners. They were murderers, rapists, robbers. They deserved to suffer unimaginable pains, this life and the next. But Nityananda Prabhu, who was playing the role of a Vaishnav, playing the role of a guru, he approached them. He begged them, just take the name of the Lord. And because Nityananda Prabhu begged Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please accept them. Their hearts have changed. They are sincere. They want to surrender. On the strength of Nityananda's compassion, they became perfect lovers of God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to prove it. While they were dancing in kirtan, Lord Chaitanya said, don't ever see them as sinners, even though they have done unimaginable sins. I have taken all their sins from them. Now they are pure devotees. All the sins you will see have entered into my body. Lord Chaitanya's body, which is normally like molten gold, it turned dark black due to the sins of Jagai and Madhai. Lord Chaitanya looked at Advaita and said, what do you see? And Advaitacharya laughed and he said, you look just like Shamsundar, Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this black color that you see in me is due to the sins of Jagai and Madhai. Now chant the holy names very loudly and all those sins will be removed. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body became beautiful golden again. But then he said something which is very instructive and very fearful. He said, do you know where all those sins have gone? Into the hearts of anyone who offends a Vaishnav. Hare Krishna. This is an eternal principle. That when the great souls pray to us and we have sincere hearts, then Krishna accepts us. Surabhi prayed. This is so interesting. Here is the royal king of heaven completely begging and depending on a cow. Just a mother. Just a simple mother. But because of her pure devotion, she had the strength to deliver the King of Heaven. After the appeal of Surabhi, Krishna looked at Indra. And Indra Dev, with his magnificent crown, placed his head on Krishna's lotus feet, crying. Through his thousand eyes, he was crying in repentance. And Krishna told a joke, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He said, Krishna said to Indra, I'm very sorry that I disturbed your Indra Puja. And not only that, did I disturb all your efforts to destroy Vrindavan. Please forgive me for embarrassing you. And that made Indra feel even worse. And Inja stood up with folded hands. Now I understand who you really are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the all-powerful, almighty Lord who is the controller of all material and spiritual worlds. You are never affected by any of the doings of this material existence. You are always above and beyond. You are the father, the mother of everyone. But yet you are so kind. You saw pride in my heart. And you saw that due to my pride, I was blinded with so much anger, I became violent toward those people you love. But you staged this whole pastime just to expose me to myself. Isn't it amazing? If you're walking on the street and some mud gets in your face, everyone else may see it, but you don't see it unless you look in a mirror. But when you're walking down the street, you don't look in a mirror. So everyone else sees your pride, but you can't see it. When Krishna is merciful, he exposes to ourselves the anarthas, or the unwanted qualities that we have to overcome. Indra was so grateful. This is the quality in which we can access the Lord's mercy. Tatem nukampam suksamikchamano punjana evatmakritam vipagam Hridvagvapur virvitatam namaste jivete samukti sade sadayavak. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse again and again because it's so important. That even when a devotee is in a very painful condition, for whatever reason, even if a devotee is suffering due to that, if that devotee can understand that I should not blame others. It's due to my own destiny that I have created. And in that situation, if the devotee with folded palms and a grateful heart can turn to God, that devotee is eligible to go back home, back to Godhead, to attain the supreme liberation of pure devotional service. Indra thanked Krishna with a grateful heart for saving him from his false pride. Krishna smiled and told Indra not to do these things again. But if you read Srimad Bhagavatam carefully, later on, in the Dwarka Leela, he did it again. Do you remember this story? Krishna went through a whole thing of killing Bhomasura? And returning the earrings to Aditi and returning the abodes to the demigods. And Satyabhama wanted a parijata tree while he was there. And Indra declared war against Krishna. Because he took a tree from his garden. That's another story. Krishna teaches so many lessons through his devotees. And in this world, even amongst our contemporaries, when a devotee has difficulty, we should never feel good about it. If we feel good about a devotee's difficulty, Krishna feels bad about us.
When a devotee has difficulty, it should pain our hearts.
But at the same time, through the trials and tribulations that other devotees go through, there are necessary lessons for us to learn. We could learn from devotees' strengths. We could learn from devotees' weaknesses. We could learn from devotees' successes. We can learn from devotees' failures. We could learn precious lessons from devotees becoming perfect. And we could learn precious lessons of what not to do from when devotees fall away. It is not our position just to criticize. It is our position to be everyone's well-wisher according to our capacity and to learn what Krishna is trying to teach us in the world through every situation. So we learn through this beautiful story of how Krishna protects his devotee. How he protected all the residents of Vrindavan because they turned to him in great danger and distress. And how he protected Indra from his own undoing due to that enemy of pride. Krishna blessed Indra. He said, now you go back and do your service and be careful. Krishna said, or actually Sarabi. Sarabi approached Krishna and said, we want to perform a ceremony today to make you our Indra, because you are our Lord. On the direction of Lord Brahma, there was a wonderful ceremony where the devatas approached and they all came forward to offer abhishekam, to offer arti and wonderful gifts to Krishna. And at the conclusion of that, Indra proclaimed Krishna to be the Supreme Lord of all lords and gave him the name Govinda. Go means the cows. Vinda means to give pleasure to. Krishna gives pleasure to the cows. Krishna gives pleasure to the earth and to all the planets. And go also means senses. Krishna gives... How does Krishna give pleasure to our senses? What does the name Govinda really mean? Because Krishna is all attractive. He is Madan Mohan. Krishna attracts our love through our hearts, through our minds, and through our senses. And in doing so, he is Hari. He steals away all of our attachment to temporary, egotistic, selfish things and attracts all of our desires toward his loving service. And in doing this, he gives the highest pleasure to our senses. Therefore, he is Govinda. After this wonderful ceremony conducted by all the demigods, including Brahma and Shiva and Anantashesha and the Apsaras and the Gandharvas and all the various principal devatas, singing Vedic mantras, they all bowed down to little 7-year-old Krishna and departed for their abodes. Meanwhile, some of the cowherd boys, these little gopas, little boys 7-year-old at Krishna's age and younger, they heard these kettle drums And these loud mantras being chanted by the devatas. So they came running to see what's happening. What's Krishna doing next? And they saw the arti paraphernalia, the puja paraphernalia that the devatas had left there. And the little cowherd boys, they were dancing and singing, and Balaram sat next to Krishna on a stone near from Govardhan Hill. And one of the gopas lifted the chamara of the demigods and they were fanning. And another was offering arti and they were all playing and they were dancing with Krishna and they were joking with Krishna and they were offering with such, they were just little children. Offering with such simple, sweet, innocent love. Meanwhile, the devatas heard them and they looked down. And when they saw the purity and the innocence of the love of these little boys, all the demigods, including Brahma, Shiva, and Indra, they all realized, compared to them, we have no love, we have no devotion at all. They really love Krishna. They are really intoxicated with love of God. And they don't even know that he's God. Shri Krishna Bhagavan Ki Jai. In this way, everyone celebrated by chanting the holy name. Nanda, Yashoda, and the other elder gopas and gopis, they heard the children dancing and singing in this way, and they came running to see what happened. And they said, what is all this? And where? These beautiful fans and these beautiful puja paraphernalia, where is it coming from? And Subal said, oh, you wouldn't believe what we just saw. Madhu Mangal said, you'll never believe it. He said, we saw this man with 1,000 eyes, tears coming out of all of them, bowing down before Gopal. Not only that, we saw this cow talking to him. And then we saw these snakes talking. And then this man with 4 heads and another with 5 heads were offering prayers to Krishna. And they left all this gold and silver and jewels as gifts for Krishna. Nanda and Yashoda and their family, they did not believe the children. But then Yashoda Mai did arti for Krishna. And that was the conclusion of the celebration of Sri Govardhan Puja. In a few days, when we go to Sri Govardhan Hill, where we will be living for about 6 days, would you like to hear how this happened? For the last 2 Vrindavan Yatras, I have been pleading with the Yatra committee that let us all live at Govardhan for half of the Yatra and Vrindavan for half of the Yatra. And every year, the organizers, they say, yes, we will try. But then it's so difficult moving everyone from their accommodations here to there. And this time it was most difficult because there's approximately 4,000 of you. Or I'm sorry, of us. So very difficult. But they were trying. They were really, really doing research and studying and going to all the different hotels and guest houses and dharmashalas at Govardhan and how to shift everybody after all the trouble of putting them here, then putting them there. And we had to have a place for a pandal for we could have, you know, katas, because where are we going to put 4,000 people at a time? So the conclusion was, it's not possible. I'm going to tell you a secret. Please don't tell anyone this secret. If you want to keep a secret, you shouldn't tell it to anything over than 4,000 people. I got a call. I was in, I think, Chicago. I got a call from the leaders of the Yatra, and they said that Fogla Ashram, where so many of our devotees are staying, and where we set up the whole pandal for the temple and for the lectures and everything, the day before Prabhupada's disappearance day, their trustees are having a Bhagavad Katha, so they're going to use the entire space that we take prasad and have kirtan and katha, and they're going to empty all the rooms for their own people, so there's no way we can stay in Vrindavan. So out of force and desperation, we have arranged to live in Govardhan for the last 6 days. Shri Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Another name of Giriraj is Kamagiri, which means the mountain that fulfills all our desires. So I think all of you must have desired to reside at Govardhan during the second part of our yatra. While we're there, if it is your desire, because we are all your servants, if it is your desire, we're thinking of offering Anakuta to Shri Giriraj. Where the Yatra committee is arranging many, many stoves and cooking facilities, and we can spend half of a day cooking thousands of offerings and then bringing them right to Govardhan Hill and offering them directly. Would you like to do that? I'm sure the monkeys will be very happy. And the cows also. In this way, in the spirit that Srila Prabhupada has taught us, we will perform the Anakuta in Sri Govardhan. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Govardhan Hill, he saw one stone, a large stone. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, he embraced that stone for a long time, weeping tears of love, because he had perfect realization that every pebble of Govardhan is directly the body of Lord Krishna. Govardhan Hill is Krishna. And at the same time, Haridas Varga, the most intimate loving servant of Krishna. This subject will be discussed when we are at Govardhan. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he offered a prayer to Giridhari. That Krishna, as you have lifted Govardhan Hill with your left hand to protect your devotees and enthuse them with your love, let us take shelter of you. And please protect us. The Govardhan Leela gives us great hope. If we sincerely take shelter of Krishna, knowing him to be our only shelter. Krishna will give us all protection forevermore. And Srila Prabhupada, on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, has taught us the prime benediction for all humanity, by which we can take shelter of Krishna directly through the grace of Guru and the Vaishnavas in any situation, in any time of life, by chanting the holy names with great feeling and sincerity. Yayatamam prapatyante. Krishna rewards us according to how we approach him. If we can even once take shelter of the holy name with a whole heart, Krishna will be ours. In this spirit, in the holy land of Vrindavan, let us cry out for the shelter of Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar by crying out their holy names. Shri Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Shri Govardhan Puja Ki Jai, Ananti Koti Vaishnav Brinda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. Thank you very much.